Chapter 12. Angel was so kind to Tess that she began to feel she would eventually agree to marry him. "I know I will say yes," she said to herself. "I can't help it. But it may kill him when he learns my secret. Why doesn't someone tell him? It only happened 40 miles away. Someone must know." One morning, Angel and Tess met on the stairs. Angel stopped Tess. "You must give me an answer, or I will have to leave the house." "Is the answer yes?"
"I will think about it, Mr. Clare," said Tess.
"Call me Angel, or Angel Dearest," said Angel.
"That would mean that I agree," replied Tess shyly.
"It would mean you love me, and you already admitted that long ago," replied Angel.
"Yes, Angel Dearest, I do love you," laughed Tess as Angel kissed her cheek.
Tess knew that she had to make a decision and give Angel an answer. That afternoon, Angel offered to drive a wagon full of buckets of milk to the train station. He asked Tess to ride with him, and she agreed. While they were driving, it began to rain, and Tess sat close to Angel, holding a cloth over them both. "Tess," said Angel, "have you decided whether you will marry me?"
"I must tell you about my past life first, Angel," said Tess.
"How much can there be to tell?" asked Angel.
"I was born and raised in the Vale of Blackmoor," said Tess. "I wanted to be a teacher, but I had to work to help my family because Father does not work very hard, and he also likes drinking."
"Well, that's nothing new," said Angel.
"I'm also a descendant of the D'Urberville family, which once owned all the land in this district," continued Tess.
"Is that your terrible secret?" laughed Angel.
"Yes," Tess said quietly. She had lost the courage to tell Angel the truth.
"Well, Tess, society will accept you better as my wife if you use the name Teresa D'Urberville. Even my mother will be impressed," said Angel.
"I prefer the name Derbyfield," said Tess. "I don't want to take the name D'Urberville."
"Then don't, Tess," said Angel. "Marry me and take my name instead."
"Oh, Angel, are you sure that it will make you very, very happy?" asked Tess.
"I'm sure, dearest. Tell me that you will be mine forever," said Angel as he held Tess tightly in his arms.
"Then yes, I will marry you," said Tess, and began to cry.
"Why are you crying?" Angel asked her.
"I promised that I would never marry," said Tess. "Sometimes I wish I had never been born."
"How can you say that if you really love me?" asked Angel in surprise.
"This will prove I love you," said Tess, holding Angel close and kissing him passionately. "Now do you believe me?"
"I never really doubted you, Tess," said Angel, as they drove on.
"I have to write and tell my mother," Tess said.
"Where does your mother live?" Angel asked.
"In Marlott," she replied.
"So I have seen you before," exclaimed Angel, "at the dance in the field in Marlott."
"Yes, and you did not dance with me. I hope that isn't a sign of bad luck," said Tess.
The next day, Tess wrote a letter to her mother. She received this reply.
"Dearest Tess, I hope that you are well. We are glad to hear that you are getting married. To answer your question, you must never tell your future husband about what happened in your past. It would be very foolish. What happened was not your fault. Promise me that you will never tell anyone. Give our best wishes to Angel. Love, Mother."
Tess felt that her mother was probably right, and she became calmer and happier as her love for Angel grew. Tess and Angel agreed to be married after Christmas. They decided to spend their honeymoon at an old farmhouse which had once belonged to the D'Urberville family. It was near the flour mill where Angel was going to continue his study of farming.
On Christmas Eve, they went shopping together for the first time. Two men passed near Tess as she was waiting for Angel to come out of a shop. One man said,
"What a lovely young girl."
"She is lovely," said the other man, "but she has already had an affair."
Tess heard the man's comment, and she was very quiet and serious on the way home to the dairy. When they arrived, she went to her room and wrote a long letter to Angel explaining what had happened 3 years previously in Trantridge. She went upstairs and pushed the letter under Angel's door. The next day, Angel did not say anything about the letter, and he acted as he always did. Tess did not know if he had read the letter and forgiven her, or if he had not seen the letter. As the days went by, Tess watched Angel carefully for any sign that her letter had changed his feelings for her. He remained as loving as before. She decided that she had to know one way or the other before they got married. On the day of the wedding, Tess waited until Angel was out and then crept quietly up the stairs to his room to look for her letter. She opened the door and saw a small white corner sticking out from under the carpet. Then Tess knew the truth. She had pushed the letter under the carpet by mistake. Angel had not seen the letter, and he still did not know her secret.
"How can I marry him before he knows about my past? It would not be fair," she said to herself.
Tess went to Angel before the ceremony.
"I must confess something, Angel," she began.
"Not now," said Angel. "We'll have time for that after we're married."
"Are you sure you don't want to know, Angel?" Tess asked.
"I really don't need to know, Tess," he answered.
Tess went through the wedding ceremony like a person in a dream. She had to reach over and touch Angel to be certain that he was real. After the wedding, they rode to the farmhouse where they were to spend their honeymoon. Angel was very romantic and kind to Tess as they ate their supper. When they had finished eating, he turned to her and said, "Tess, I have to tell you something. I didn't tell you before because I was afraid. I thought I might lose you. 2 years ago in London, I had a relationship with a woman, but I have never done anything like it since then. Can you forgive me for being so weak?"
"Angel, of course I forgive you. It makes it so much easier to tell you what I have to say."
Tess held Angel's hands and told him the whole story of Alec d'Urberville and her poor little son.